Pasco, Pasco, can you turn it off and then can you turn it on again? Hey!
Adelaide's tech guy, you got a question about technology, anything at all to do with technology, perhaps the car's not running well, or maybe even a rotten movie. It's good to have you back in the studio, old copper.
It's great to be back in the studio as well. Isn't it refreshing?
Oh, yeah. Right. You haven't got any prettier, but neither have I. Now tell me, the worst movie you've ever seen, what is it?
I would believe it is The French Lieutenant's Woman with Meryl Streep.
But that was regarded as one of the classics.
I reckon it's as dull as dishwater. I reckon I nodded off within 10 minutes of seeing it at the cinema.
The French Lieutenant's Woman, Meryl Streep and Ralph Fiennes?
I think so. Yeah, one of those. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And you didn't like it?
No, 10 minutes in my... You know when you're going to sleep and your head starts rocking back and forth? It was great. I think I gave more amusement to the people in the cinema...
Trying to stay awake
than the actual really? Film at the time.
I mean, a lady gave us a ring a little while ago and said, oh, Pilko, you're talking about the worst movies of all time. She said the classic with Omar Sharif and Peter O'Toole.
Lawrence of Arabia.
She said nothing but sand.
One of the greatest films of all time.
Anne, I think, was the name of the lady. I think Anne is legally blind. Maybe she was just listening to it.
She had a thing against Peter O'Toole.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger figures pretty prominently. Boring big fart, but anyway.
I see Predator, one of the greatest action films of all time.
I knew I shouldn't have asked. Mate, somebody said to me during the week, how often should you change your password on your computer, and should it be complicated so that nobody can get into it with numbers and different configurations? How often do you need to change it?
Passwords on a computer
are
designed to keep the husband or the wife or the kids off.
All right, okay.
You know, and people are of the belief that I've got a complicated password on there and somebody breaks it and steals it, all the stuff's protected. I hate to tell you that it's not.
It's not?
Next about 2 minutes, and most times it can be broken.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're talking to a dummy here, but there'll be a lot of people will be thinking, oh, no.
I get called out to places and things like that that a lot of times it's the husband or the wife passed away. I can't get into their computer. Can you get into it for me? And I carry a little USB stick and I can get in there for you.
Simple as that. Okay. Yep. If you're selling things online... What are some of the tips? What are some of the things you shouldn't do?
You've got to present the product in a really good light when you do it online. So when you're on Gumtree or eBay, if you're selling something on there, just remember that setting is everything. You know, when you're photographing it, find a blank background like a wall to shoot against. Style it up. You know, place your item on a pillar or a tabletop. Put all the accessories that you're selling with it in the frame as well. And always remember, good lighting is so important to go along and light it. So natural lighting from a window, like we've got in here today, good photographing, except from Josh taking the photo of you and I, because we know that Josh is the worst photographer of all time.
So he's good at a lot of things. Photography's not his strength.
He's crap at doing that.
So take
the photo. It's only a joke, Josh. So take the photo during the day and then use the edit function on his smartphone to go along and do it. Don't take the photo at night. With a lamp on and have shadows on there as well. And if you're selling something, get descriptive. Know every product detail. Yeah. If you know it all, put it all in there.
Can you put too much information in there?
Probably not. Include it. Because if you're going to ring up and ask, something about it.
And so many people do it online these days, don't they?
Oh, they do. Especially on Gumtree. It's amazing some of the stuff that can go on there.
Yeah.
But make sure you put that great description in there. It helps with searchability, on there as well. And if you're online, beware of scammers and that online as well. I had a friend who was selling a horse.
Online,
scammers were talking to them.
Yeah.
And they knew it was fake. So they actually said to texted them back and said, horse has had a bit of an accident. It's lost one leg. It's okay, right? It's a bit hobbly, but it'll be all right on there as well. And they still want it supposedly to buy the horse.
They've got too much spare time on their hands. Wayne from down at Wollonga's giving you a call. Got him on the phone there. G'day, Wayne.
How are you, mate?
Hi, Wayne.
Listen, I'm having all sorts of trouble with Outlook Express. Downloads and then it won't display the emails. It keeps synchronising files.
Right. So can we just back up slightly? Outlook Express was for Windows XP, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
What are you trying to run it on? Not Windows XP still.
Well, I'm just... It's part of the bloody program that I downloaded originally, so it's been there forever. It's the very latest Microsoft programs, but...
It's not Outlook Express, then?
Yeah, it is Outlook Express, or Outlook.
It'd be Outlook, not Outlook Express.
It is Outlook.
Yep, thank goodness for that, because Outlook Express is old enough to vote. So Outlook is part of the Office 365 package?
Well, I don't know, because it was put on by my computer tech about 3 years ago as a brand new program, but ever since... And it worked very well for a couple of years. The last 12 months, it's been nothing but a pain in the bum.
So when you say it doesn't display properly?
Well, it does things like you can see that it's downloading and it's receiving emails, but then you can't get the emails into the inbox until you click on another folder. And just stuff like that. And then sometimes it does work fine. Okay, that's great. But the other times I've got stacks of emails that are lined up there that aren't coming through that have been received but not displayed.
Who's your provider?
Big Pond.
Big Pond. Check your settings, Wayne. Open up a web page. Go and make sure you've got all the correct settings in there for your email account.
Yeah.
Because a couple of years ago, they changed most of the settings on there. And then if you've got some of the old settings in there, it won't work properly.
Yeah. Well, my tech advisor keeps telling me it's Big Pond's fault.
Yep, they all say that, but I'm just telling you to go. I'm telling you, I hate to say that. You're asking me. You know, it's go back in there, Wayne, have a look at the settings on there. You open the control panel, go to mail, have a look at the settings on there, and make sure it's imap.telstra.com and smtp.telstra.com. All right?
Okay, yep.
Thanks, Wayne.
He still sounds confused. Richard, you're always getting asked the question, what's the best antivirus? As of right now, what's the one you should be going after?
And three calls about this week and a couple of emails on there as well. So I always say you're the first line of defence about computer security, right? So you've got to be careful. Keep the device up to date, right? Make sure that you don't click links and emails you don't know. As well. So if an email
comes in... It's always tempting to do that. You know, if you're a bit of a sticky beak late at night, you've had a couple of drinks, you think, oh, hang on a minute or so, this could be interesting.
Alcohol sometimes in people is really good for my business. I've got to say that as well. So, you know, you go along and you have a look, you know, have a look at, make sure the address, if you're paying a Telstra bill, it hasn't come from telstra.yahoo.russia, as well. So have a good look at that.
So read the whole line.
Have a look at that.
Yeah.
On Windows Defender does a very good job, and if you want added protection on there as well. You're not sure and you're uncertain about your IT knowledge as well. I still say Trend and Norton, which I'm advertising at the moment through Harvey Norman, are doing a very, very good job on there.
Right. Sue, in a moment or so, how often should you check that the plan you've got is the right one for you? It's up to date and the amount of usage and all of the other things.
Huh? I think you should be doing it every year.
Every year?
Every year. Walk in because the plans change. There's some really good plans out there at the moment.
Every year?
Yeah, yeah. I know for home internet, Telstra have just come out with a new plan and slashed a lot of money off it.
Yeah.
They've got some great plans now that the iPhone 12 is coming out.
So it can change that often?
It can change it so you can get lots more data.
Yeah.
You know, because data is all it's about, and sometimes you get a price drop.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. 17 minutes after two. At Grange, Sue's on the line for Richard. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Sue, don't be shy. Come on. We won't bite. No, we'll get back to Sue in a moment. A couple of other questions. This is from email from Maddie. I've had the same mobile now for 3 years. It's still working pretty well, but the kids are saying, hang on a minute or so, Mum, it's outdated and there's a lot more options available on the latest models. That's from Maddie. With the same mobile for 3 years, kids are saying, come on, Mum.
3-year-old mobile's just fine.
It's okay.
Don't know why you'd spend more money on it.
So tell the kids to go and get
nicked. 2 to 3 years is when you start to look at upgrade. But if you're not using the new features, why would you change?
Oh, well, Maddie says, I'm under pressure from the kids. They're saying after 3 years, mum, blah, 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 all sorts of
other
options.
A lot of older people get under pressure from their kids about going on. So, you know, if you're exactly right. So if you only make phone calls and send text messages, why are you out there buying the latest and greatest?
Why are you looking at me like that, right? Yeah. Jean's at Albany. Hello, Jean.
Hi, how are you going?
Hi, Jean.
Yeah, I have a problem and it's driving me crazy. I'm about to throw my computer through the window.
Settle down, Jean. Come on now.
Nah, throw it through the window, Jean. You'll feel a lot better, love.
Yeah, okay. I can't get into my Gmail account.
Right.
And then it refers me to, you know, aside, put in your password. I think I've forgotten it or trying to remember it.
Yep.
And then it says to get a authentication code. Well, I've got an app that I can do that. And then it'll say to me, please, can we have a forwarding address so we can contact you?
That's right.
So I made up a Outlook.
No, you've got to make up an you've got to have an address that Google knows, that you've previously used. You can't just make up a fresh address.
Okay.
Because that's what scammers and people from call centre stand on the other side of the world do.
Okay. So what do I do? Like, I don't really want to change my Gmail address because it's, you know.
Do you open Gmail up in the web browser, Jean?
Yes.
And are you using Google Chrome?
Yes, I am.
Right, so click on the three dots in the right-hand corner and open up the settings and see if you've saved the password in there.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That'd be the best clue. I had to solve that for somebody this morning. We did that, got the account straight back.
Jean, do you know what? Oh, I reckon Richard's got to come out to your joint and have a look at it for you and nearly do it for you. Do you know that?
I think so.
Yeah, right. I think so. Okay, it'll cost you 160-odd bucks or so, but just the frustration level, Jean, because you're going to ring us again in a few weeks' time and saying, bugger me, it's still not working properly. You don't need that hassle. All
and
right,
she
Jean?
Lives in a great suburb.
Oh, she lives at Albert and I forgot about it. It's I never. I haven't even mentioned last week once, and already he's having a bit of a go. It's 20 minutes past two.
Hello. Over 2 years ago, National Tiles permanently slashed the price of Australia's largest selling tile from $25 to under $10 per metre every day of the year. 2 years on, National Tiles price is still under $10 every day of the year. Go to our website now to see for yourself why National Tiles is renowned for having the guaranteed lowest priced quality tiles in Australia every day of the year.
Values. We all hold them, care about them. Some drive us, some inspire us, and they can say a lot about us. At Blackwell Funerals, we understand them and care about them too. Because every day we're privileged to help families treasure them, honour them, and remember them in those they love. Blackwell Funerals, celebrating the values you treasure most. Visit blackwellfunerals.com.au.
Sue, you're at Grange. You'll be our next caller for Richard. The ladies from the from Toop and Toop are in the Interactive Lounge. You want some advice, and there's always advice sought on real estate. You're perhaps thinking of, selling a property, buying a property, renting a property, looking for somebody to look after that rental property of yours. Give them a call. Their telephone number is 8419 1473. So the 8419, then 1473. And Jan and Jen are in that Interactive Lounge. All the advice is expert, confidential, off-air and what have you. You want some advice about real estate, give the ladies a ring. They're there until about 2:30, another 10 minutes or so on 8419 1473.
Need an electrician and need one today? Ken Hall Electricians do it all. From lighting, PowerPoints and appliance installation to a full house rewire, no job is too big or small. Give Ken a call. Ken Hall Electricians, 8364 5855.
Telstra NBN is now on sale, which means now's your chance to get a great deal on Australia's most reliable home Wi-Fi. Get incredible speed and unlimited data for only $80 a month for 12 months with no connection fee. Don't miss out. Switch today. Visit us in-store or at telstra.com.
For new customers, $90 a month after. Minimum cost, $2,040 over 24 months. Offer ends 2nd of November. 50 megabytes per second. Typical download speeds, 7pm till 11pm. Actual speeds may be lower.
I'm Cathy Nagel, the Chief Executive of Western Hospital at Henley Beach. We continue to grow our healthcare hub at the hospital. I'm very proud to let you know that our service offerings to the western suburbs and beyond continue to grow. From our GP practice to a range of radiology services, pharmacy, physiotherapy, specialists ranging from breast surgery, ophthalmology, gastroenterology, general surgery and cardiology, all on site and conveniently located to serve our community. Visit westernhospital.com.au.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Repairs, an RAA-approved caravan crash repairer. This is Tony Pilkington.
And this is our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, the AdelaideTechGuy.com.au. And if you'd like to give Richard a call on the mobile number that he answers himself, I still can't get over that, 0419 829 145. You've got a problem, any problem to do with technology and computers and all of that other fancy stuff. This bloke, even though he's one of the few Port Adelaide supporters, he can read and write at the same time.
Let's not forget North Adelaide as well. It wasn't a good weekend.
You had what's the name weekend, didn't you?
I did too.
I'm not going to mention it because we finished last and Central's, I think, finished second last or something. Sue, you're at Grange anyway. Couldn't give a stuff about our football teams. G'day, Sue.
I love the power. Here we go. About 3 months ago, I bought a laptop.
Yep.
Brand new laptop. And every time I go to put in a email address, you know, the @.com, blah, blah.
Yeah.
When I hit in the @, I get the two little quotation marks. I keep asking my daughter, and I think she's going to throw me out of the window.
No, we don't want that suit. Really easy to fix.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You've got it set on UK English, not Australian English.
English?
Yep.
Okay.
Because if you look in the language settings, you can swap it over. Because what happens on UK keyboards, they're arranged differently. That's why you're getting the two little exclamation mark when you do it.
You dummy.
So all you have to do is swap it US English or Australian English, and you'll be fine on the keyboard settings. It's in the control panel.
Yeah.
How can I default that?
Once you've got it set up down there, you'll see it comes up and you remove the UK English. If you just do a quick Google search for change language settings on Windows 10, it will explain to you how to do it. All right, Sue?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sue.
Oh, she still doesn't sound too sure.
It's a 2 second job. I love getting called out for those.
Really?
So, yeah.
Sue, give Richard a ring. If it doesn't work out for you, give him a ring mobile. Okay, to Norlunga and Richard from there.
Yeah, hello there. Hello, Richard. Wonderful name.
It is a good name.
A big choice in choosing it.
Yeah.
I've got multiple computers in my house, running an entertainment system, a couple of desktops, and another laptop that I use.
How many altogether, Richard?
Four.
Right.
But I wanted to look at possibly putting a common service, so all the major programs. So I've got OpenOffice, Office 2013, Office 2016, different licenses all over the place. I'd like to put them all on one and have our major storage just sitting on one machine.
I would probably do it differently. I would have a NAS in there. Network attached storage. You only got four computers on there, so it's about sharing data. That's what it's about, and sharing things, not sharing software over it. So you've got to think of it a bit differently like that. So every computer's different, so you can have Macs in there and Windows in there and tablets in there, but as long as it can access all the stuff for the network detached storage.
Look at a NAS. Would that mean that I'd basically only have to pay for one license for Office?
No, but I get a multiple license for Office when you do it.
Okay.
Because remember, Office when you install is designed per machine.
Yes.
Not really designed to go on a server for that small.
Okay.
All right.
Another problem solved. All right, Richard, good luck with all of that at Parafield Gardens. Mike's on the line for Richard. Hello, Mike.
Pilko, Richard, how you going, boys?
Good, Mike.
I've got an old iPhone 5. It does me well, Mike. But every so often I get updates from Optus, but I don't really look at what they're sort of sending me. Should I be looking or
not
worrying about it?
No, not at all. It's only to update probably the carrier settings on Optus and you know, really, you know, iPhone 5 still works okay for your mic.
Yes, there's no problem. Sometimes if I Google something, it's just
To get a bit dodgy now.
Yeah, but the phone, I've had it for about, I don't know, 5-6 years now, and it does me well. It's done well.
It has. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't worry about the Optus settings on an iPhone 5 at all.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
That was Mike from Parafield Gardens, and this is Mick from Dernancourt for you, Richard.
Hi, Mick.
Hey, Richard, you've thrown me a bit when you said about the password situation. In the past, I've always told us to give, you know, letters and numbers and make it real big and that. And so, and they're telling, you know, people have A, B, C, D or 1, 2, 3, etc.
Yep.
So, I mean, this has confused me. Why they're telling us that it has to be so strong if it's unimportant, like you were saying?
It's the laptop at home, right? Mm-hmm. Or your computer at home is designed to keep your partner or the kids off.
Yep.
Right? So if you don't trust the partner or the kids to get on there, then you'd have a reasonably complicated password
for
on there.
For that reason, yeah, I can understand that part. What about people sort of trying to hack into you or something?
It's got nothing to do with the password on the front of the computer.
All right, what about, was that to do with the Wi-Fi password or not?
Most Wi-Fi passwords out there are quite complicated now that come down from all the providers, so you're fine about that. When people try and access your computer, you've already given them access, Mick.
Okay.
It's when somebody comes up and says, oh, you know, Mick, you know, we can see that your computer's infected over the internet, which is crap, and you let them log onto your computer, and you've let them install stuff on your computer.
Well, the one thing I just used to mention about the Wi-Fi, I remember when I put my Wi-Fi on, I gave them the password. They didn't give me a password. You said that just then that they give you the password.
Some of them will come along and give you a password, but as long as you've got that little padlock next to your Wi-Fi symbol, when you try it, you're fine, Mick.
Okay, so you've got your internet provider password, then you've got your name on your computer password. That stops your people getting the other one, the internet provider password. Does that have to be strong again? Can that be simple?
Most of them are quite strong.
So that one has to be strong, you reckon?
Most of them are they've given. I've never seen a simple password come from an internet provider yet.
Oh, that's interesting because my internet, when I first joined the internet, I had a real simple 4 number.
Oh, if we go back years ago, it is. And I actually found somebody yesterday with a very simple one as well.
So is that one that I should change?
No, not really. No.
Oh, okay. Well, it is simple.
Yep.
So that one's okay too, you reckon?
It is, yeah.
Okay,
right,
then. Oh, good on you, Richard. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mick.
Mick, and didn't cost you a cracker. I mean, all that good advice. Right. Now, somebody wants to get a hold of you. You answer the mobile phone, 0419
829 145, or head over to adelaidetechguide.com.au.
And you know what? We've gone a half an hour, and I haven't mentioned last Friday night once.
Thank you.